Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Hello there. Today we're going to talk about heavenly things. Let's get started. You know, Nicodemus, remember him? He seems to have been pretty unconventional among the religious elite of his day. You can take a look at John chapter 3. He actually listened to Jesus and wanted to understand. The rest, or most of the rest, of those Pharisees were just closed-minded. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, pretty much dead men walking spiritually. And Nick was no slouch intellectually. He was a known teacher. But Jesus befuddled him with his born-again assertion. He said, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" You have to appreciate his honesty. After all, Christ challenged him to open his mind to some things that shook the very core of his beliefs, and then went even further. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Well, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Now, if you were reading this, you would see that the "we" has been capitalized W by the translators. The capitalization we see in English clearly was not in the Aramaic that Jesus spoke or the Koine Greek that John wrote in, but the translators clearly acknowledged what Jesus was implying when he said repeatedly, "we" with that capital W. That is, my Father and I, or all three of us in the Godhead. Of course, this again challenged Nicodemus, but then he hit it out of the park, that is, Jesus, with, "If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man." The first heavenly thing Jesus shared showed that God in heaven does not live in time. In fact, Jesus asserted that he ascended and came down to and from heaven in the past tense, our past, because we are in time. Now, we can read this heavenly thing, and even if we don't quite understand it, we can accept it and trust the Lord. But Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a teacher of Israel. His cohorts condemn Jesus to death. For him to hang in there with Christ was more challenging than it was for the disciples. So when he accompanied Joseph of Arimathea to bury the body of Jesus in the garden tomb, when all the disciples were hiding in fear, you can't help but sense that the change he went through was stunningly profound. And the teaching continues for the teacher of Israel, as the scripture says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life does not mean that this life goes on forever. Instead, eternal life also has the idea of a certain quality of life, of God's kind of life. It's a kind of life enjoyed in eternity. Thanks, David Guzik, for that. More than any other man, the Pharisees admired Moses. But the serpent on the pole, and we can see that in Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, was a symbol of evil and a symbol of salvation. What would have been another mind-boggler for Nick? What was symbolized and what even the disciples did not comprehend was the destiny of Jesus taking on all our sins, literally becoming sin for our sakes. See 2 Corinthians 5:21. Serpents are often used as pictures of evil in the Bible. You see Genesis 3:1-5 and Revelation 12:9. However, Moses' serpent in Numbers 21 was made of bronze, and bronze is a metal associated with judgment in the Bible, because bronze is made with fire, a picture of judgment. So the bronze serpent was a picture of evil or sin judged, which will lead Jesus into his next heavenly thing, maybe the clincher. For he says, "For God did not send the Son in the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now that's the LSB version. Note, God ordained for mankind the freedom of choice from all the way back in Eden. However, Jesus here seems to be explaining to Nick that from heaven's perspective, those who do not believe have already made that choice and have been judged already. That's what it says. Again, there is no time as we know it in heaven. Now, we do live in time, and we do not have that perspective. Thus, as believers, we are to obey the Great Commission to preach the gospel to everyone. And that gospel is summed up in the verse I skipped over so we could end with it. It says, or Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, everlasting life. This describes the duration of God's love. The love we receive among people may fade or turn, but God's love will never change. He will never stop loving his people even unto the furthest distance of eternity. We could say that there are seven wonders in John 3:16. First, God, the almighty authority. Next, so loved the world, the mightiest motive, that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, that's the widest welcome, believes in him, the easiest escape, should not perish, that's the divine deliverance, but have everlasting life, that's the priceless possession. If there's one sentence more than another which sums up the message of the fourth gospel, John's, it is this: the love of God is limitless. It embraces all mankind. No sacrifice was too great to bring its unmeasured intensity home to men and women. The best that God had to give, he gave his only Son, his well-beloved. Thank you, Guzik and Bruce, for that. This is the greatest of the heavenly things Christ shared. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.